This is The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Maiken Scott. In 2004, drug maker GlaxoSmithKline was sued in a case that involved their antidepressant Paxil, teens, and increased suicide risk. I'm sure you remember the many news stories. Here's one example from ABC, which was filed right after the case was settled.
When Ryan York was 14, he suffered a severe panic attack. Doctors prescribed the antidepressant Paxil. Ryan's condition got worse.
I didn't care about school, family, friends. I didn't care what happened to me.
A year later, Ryan attempted suicide. New York State argued that GlaxoSmithKline failed to warn doctors and the public that some studies showed Paxil did not work in adolescents and might lead to suicidal thoughts.
The high-profile case helped push along legislation that went into effect in 2008. It requires research institutions and pharma companies to report study results from human testing of drugs and medical devices through a website, clinicaltrials.gov. The problem is, seems like nobody is following this law. Joining us now is reporter Charles Piller. He's just published an in-depth investigative report on this issue in STAT. It's a journalism startup covering life sciences. Charles, thank you so much for being here.
It's my pleasure.
This law, this requirement to report findings, was passed because there were growing concerns that pharma companies were perhaps hiding negative results. So this is very important to patient safety, right?
It is. It's important to patient safety and also for doctors and researchers to understand the efficacy of different experimental drugs and also drugs on the market, because sometimes new information emerges that changes the way in which doctors and patients use these medications. I found in my research an interesting example of a nonprofit cancer research network in Indiana that was studying a drug called Avastin, which is a cancer drug. They were using it for patients who had advanced breast cancer. And the drug worked so poorly. It caused so many terrible side effects and had so little benefit to the patients that they were forced to stop the trial even before its completion. But the results, which were required to be posted to clinicaltrials.gov, were withheld for years. And so what you had is a situation where other patients who have cancer, breast cancer, and might have benefited from the knowledge that this new drug that they were testing was not beneficial to breast cancer patients, were deprived of the benefits of understanding what happened in that study, the terrible effects that this had on breast cancer patients for years.
Now, how did you get onto this topic?
Well, it's been known for a long time that reporting has been somewhat lackluster. And what I'm referring to is reporting results to the required government database, clinicaltrials.gov. And what has never been done before our investigation is a close look at what each individual institution is doing in regard to their reporting of results for clinical studies. And what we found is that the leading academic institutions, by and large, did a lot worse even then pharma companies in delivering results in a timely way, as they're required to do by law and, as you pointed out, for patient safety and to help people understand how well these drugs are working.
How badly are we talking about?
Well, I think we can say clearly that no major research organization did well. Only two out of the 98 that we looked very closely at reported their results within the legal guideline of 1 year after the study was completed or terminated, at least 50% or more of the time. This is a pretty shocking and abysmal record for these research organizations, which pride themselves really on being open about their research. What we found was that due to a variety of reasons that a range of investigators told us, they just didn't prioritize the legal responsibility to report results to clinicaltrials.gov. We found this to be hard to understand because even though there is some effort involved, the public benefit to reporting these results and making their information available to other researchers, to patients and doctors is really quite great. And we found that some would say, well, we just don't have the time. We just didn't think it was a priority. And so they didn't do it.
But did they publish the results elsewhere?
So some of the studies involved publication of results in medical journals. And the researchers argue that this should constitute a full and complete public responsibility to make these results available to the research community and to patients. There are several reasons why that reasoning is not just flawed, but I think socially irresponsible. And here are a few. Often, the research results published in journals come years after the studies were completed because of the extremely long time lag that these studies often face in getting into journals. Second, a lot of those articles are not available to the public without paying a large fee, and consequently, many people don't really have access to them. And finally, and I think perhaps most importantly, is that it's well known that journals often publish results that are kind of cherry-picked by the researcher. So what I mean is that often researchers will shift away from the outcome measures designated at the start of a clinical study to results selected at the study's conclusion. And this can be very misleading because it can imply strong results for a secondary measure that really was not a big part of the idea behind the study. These scientifically less defensible results are then often taken as the important results, and that can be very misleading to doctors and patients.
Charles, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Charles Piller just published an in-depth investigative piece on trial outcome reporting in STAT. That's a journalism startup covering health and science.